You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Habari Ghani, and welcome to our Kwanzaa edition of The Griot Daily, where I just sit here and basically tell you stories about growing up celebrating Kwanzaa and my memories. One of my favorite memories about Kwanzaa is about Kumba Day. Kumba is the day of Kwanzaa where we celebrate creativity. Now, you can do this in all kinds of ways. For instance, one year we did a project where everyone created a mural on the wall. All the kids got together and we kind of each had a little section and we did a big mural for Kumba Day. Our art teacher would come and take the little kids and give little art lessons and everybody would get, like, bruh, I know you're not going to believe this because, you know, this kind of symbolizes a lot of privilege. And I don't want to brag about my childhood, but because I celebrated Kwanzaa, I had one of the most wanted items that a child could have in their life. Yep, because of Kumba, I had the 64-box Crayola. I'm telling you, one, I'm talking about the big spending one. That's like the $64 bottle of Hennessy, right? Like, when you get that box of Crayola crayons that has the pencil sharpener on the box, bruh, you ball it. Like that is probably, I'm not sure because I never talked to him, but I think that's what Cash Money Records was talking about when they made that song, Bling Bling, like the 64-block box of Crayola. Like, because it had like about 17 different shades of yellow in it, bruh. Like, I'm telling you, 64-crayon box of Crayola is the childhood equivalent of, like, PlayStation 5, or it's the, like, now that would be, like, getting a VR, a virtual reality headset for Christmas. I'm telling you, that 64-box of Crayola was crucial, and I got one because of Kumba Day. And another thing that we do on Kumba Day, every Kumba Day, this was the big Kumba Day celebration, we'd have a talent show. And the talent show would be filled with people who knew they were going to be stars, right? Like, if you won the Kumba Day talent show, like, you were basically a celebrity for the next 364 days. 365 if it was a leap year. Right? Like, you were basically the neighborhood celebrity. Like, everyone knew that you might just get signed to Motown. Usually, the winner was somebody who sang a cappella. It was one group that used to dominate the Kumba Day celebration. But there was one year where I was determined to take them down. Now, the thing about the Kumba Day celebration is you had to recruit, right? Like, you just couldn't go up there by yourself because you was going to be facing, like, real stuff competition. It was kind of like Star Search. So, or like, it was the Kwanzaa version of American Idol, basically, right? Or Kwanzaa's Got Talent. It was probably like that, right? So you had to recruit, like, you know, the best group of singers, they were interchangeable because everybody wanted to be in that group, right? There was a dude, first of all, it was two staples of that group, a dude named Eric Lucky, and a dude named Larry T. Spurd. Larry T. Spurd and Eric Lucky. Like, Eric Lucky was kind of like the Ralph Tresvant of that time. I mean, that boy sang. He had a voice like El DeBarge, right? A nice falsetto that was clear as a bell. And Laertes Byrd, he was like, Laertes Byrd had a beard when he was like in the third grade. He had a deep voice, and he sung all the bass parts, right? Laertes Byrd and Eric Lucky, all they had to do was just fill in the middle with somebody who could hold a note, and it was almost guaranteed to win the Kumbadé talent show. And I wanted to win that Kumbadé talent show so bad that I had to form my own rap group. Now, I was already in a well-known rap group because, again, I was one of the highest-rated rappers in the PD area. I probably should have been on the cover of my neighborhood's version of the Source magazine, but, you know, we didn't have a Xerox copier back then. But my rap group couldn't make it to Kumbadé that year because the partner in my rap group, the DJ, you know, his grandmama lived in Baltimore, and so they visited her. So I had to form my own rap group. So me and my friend Gino Hawkins, we created a group called the Fresh Force Rock. So me and Gino, who had already had a Kumbadé trophy for when he sung with Laertes and Eric, he decided to be in my group because we was best friends, and Gino could sing too. So we were going to surprise and wow the crowd with our rendition of our own self-made rap, and he was going to sing in the middle. There was just one problem. A couple of days before Kumbadé, I got the flu. My goodness. I mean, it was probably like more than the flu. It was probably like COVID-12 or COVID-13. It was probably an early version of COVID. Boy, I could not breathe. I coughed every time I took a breath, but I just had to make it to that Kumbadé talent show. And there was only one thing that I could do: call on Jesus. And by Jesus, I meant my grandmama, because my grandmother had like special Holy Ghost powers that could heal you. And my grandmother also was very, she didn't practice witchcraft or anything. So that's not where her powers came from, the Lord on high. But she also had a bunch of home remedies in the African tradition. So this is what my grandmama told me to do to get rid of my cold. I had to pee in a cup, and then she was going to pray over the cup, and I was going to have to drink my own pee, turn the cup upside down, and she promised by the next morning my cold would be gone. And I thought my grandmama was crazy. Oh, hell no. I'm not peeing in no cup. My sisters were laughing because it was like, if you want to win the Kumbadé parade, Kumbadé show, gonna have to pee in the cup and drink your own pee. So my grandma would set that cup on that table and say, like, when you're ready, just let me know. And so I peed in the cup. My grandmother prayed over it, turned the cup upside down, and lo and behold, I woke up the next morning, and I swear to y'all, that cold was gone. And me and Gino, we went to that Kumbadé show, and we won first place. As a matter of fact, it's probably, like, you could probably look it up in the Guinness Book of World Records. We were the first hip-hop group to win the Hartsville, South Carolina Kumbadé show. I'm sure that's at least in the newspapers somewhere, like if you look through the archives. And we won $100 for that Kumbadé talent show and a gift certificate to Po' Boy's restaurant, which was owned by my friend's parents, and I could probably eat there for free anyway, but just like bawling out with like a whole plate of shrimp from my Kumbadé winnings. It was like one of the best feelings in my life. Now, from then on, whenever my sisters and I got in a roasting session, they would always roast me about the time that I drank my own pee. And, you know, I have to admit that prayer works. I have to admit that my grandmother does have superpowers. But I also have to admit that I lied to my grandmother and I lied to the world, because I took that cup of pee after my grandmother prayed over it and poured it in the toilet stool, because ain't no way. And I poured it in the toilet stool because, I mean, I love Kwanzaa, but not enough to drink my own pee. And that's why Kumba is important, because you have to be creative if you want to eat free shrimp. And that's also why you have to download the Griot app. That's why you have to subscribe to this podcast. And that's why you got to tell a friend about Kwanzaa and this particular podcast. And that's also why we leave you with the traditional saying of Kwanzaa, Habari Gani. And thank you for listening to the Griot Daily.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to the Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.